So on tonight, we are going to be talking about regret. Now, this probably is going to be a long topic. We'll probably end up doing it into two different series. But on tonight, we're going to talk about regret and what does regret look like. And then what do you do to overcome regret? So, Dawn, you want to start us off tonight with what regret?
Oh.
So Dawn is our informational person. She.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. A feeling of sadness about something sad or wrong, about a mistake that you have made and a wish that it could have been a different or better.
Dag.
Is the little snippet of what it really is. Yeah, that's...
Missed opportunities.
Yes. I have so many of those. So many. Those wish it could have, would have. Yeah.
You know what? I got a lot of them.
And the should have.
And the should. For real.
Or shouldn't have. Mm. Or wish I wouldn't have. Those type of things. This topic is... this topic can kind of hurt. I mean, all the topics we talk about definitely has caused scars, but this one, this is stuff that you can't, some stuff you can't go back and fix, or you can't, some stuff that you don't get no do-overs, that's the correct word, do-overs. And regret, a lot of people can never get over regret. I know that I can list thousands of things I wish I would have did different, or I wish I could have did different. So who wants to start in this game on the night? Because this one is a little sticky.
You know, sometimes with regret, or a lot of times with regret, it tends to make you flashback. There's something in life will hit you, and it's like, one of my biggest regrets was never ever going into the military.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I wanted to be a lawyer, then I realized they had to read too many books. And as much as I like reading, I didn't want to read those books because they were very long, very thick. You had to read too many desperate there. But my biggest regret was not going into the military. And it would have given me a safe haven. It would have given me a place to stay security wise, but I was too busy chasing after a man. Thinking, he loves me. He promised we're going to get married. He was in college. We're 2 years apart. And when I graduate from high school and he graduated from college, you know, the white picket fence and all that other stuff, just chasing after a man. And I can say a lot of my regrets was that one cause because of a man. But that's probably one of my biggest regrets that I've had in life. And sometimes I flash back on that. If I had been in the military, where would my life be?
I mean, I wonder how many the people that are listening have that same story. The regret of that one, because I decided to follow that man. I didn't. And it may not even be a man. You know, if you're a man chasing after a woman and you didn't do something because of that was your main focus. Wow. But I didn't know you wanted to go in the military.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't know. I mentioned this before, my childhood was not a good one. And we used to get evicted a lot. And it was just, one of the reasons that I was always looking for love is because I really would believe that this man was going to marry me and take me out of this situation that I was in. And just believe in the hype when you're young, dumb and stupid, you know, you don't know no better.
Right.
And I wanted to go into the Air Force. I actually wanted to do the Navy, but I can't swim. And they throw your butt in the water. So, and they told
ain't
me
no
that
treading here.
There's no treading there, treading water there. And they told me that the Air Force was the easy branch of military, but I don't know. I can speak on that. And some people would probably say that I was trying to go into the, I wanted to go into the military because there was this guy that I used to date that was in the military. It had nothing to do with him. We had been done with for years and years. To me, it would have been a safe haven. I would have had a steady income and I would have been able to travel.
Do you think it gave you a sense of family?
I think so. It would have gave me a sense of belonging.
Yeah.
A purpose. I didn't have that, because when you grow up in a household where you're told you ain't gonna never be nothing, you ain't this, you ain't that, blah, 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 and you hit it all your life, you believe that. Mm-hmm. So when the first numbnut come around, and I ain't calling none of the gentlemen, because I had some decent ones come around and say, ooh, baby, you beautiful, you this, ooh, I'm promise you this, you fall for that because you don't get that loving there. So the regret of not going into the military, the regret of believing something that never happened, just, and then the regret of just life in general, just, I don't know.
You know, if you don't catch it, if you don't know no better, you don't know.
I didn't know until I got older.
Yeah. And it's almost like a snowball effect. It's like a chain reaction. One thing can cause another thing and another thing. And if you don't cut the cord, then you seem like this is always, I don't ever want to live in a place of always regretting, always dealing with regret. That's not it's a hard life to live. And I mean, how do you, and I will get to that. So before I go to there, Darina, what you, because I know you had something you was going to say.
I was going to say, you know, sometimes regret leads to being stuck. And yes. When you're
ding,
stuck,
ding, 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 ding.
When you're stuck, it can lead to depression. And it's hard to get out of being stuck. And as I get older, I understand that whole midlife crisis thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, it's all about regrets. I'm at this certain stage in my life, and what do I have to show for it? What have I done? You know, what didn't I do? I wish I could have done something differently. And as Don was talking about regrets, I was like, I have so many. That heck, it's so many that, you know, I can start to pinpoint, but you know, the last one, you know, was about giving advice to my child, and I you know, it was a job that, you know, I'm looking from one perspective as far as safety. But you know, it's just so much. I'm like, you know, because one of my biggest regrets is that I listened to my father, because I wanted to be a medical examiner. That was my dream job. I wanted to be like Quincy.
Hey, I love this show.
You know, well, you all of the era where you all can probably remember Quincy. That was my guy, Jack Klugman. Me and Quincy. I was like, yes, I wanted to see some dead bodies. I wanted to cut them open. And my father told me, and this is before I got to college. I was in high school. He was like, no, that's too political. That's just too political. You don't want to do that. That's a dirty job. And I was just like, and my father had connections. And I'm just like, you know, had he gave me some of his connections, I could have been further on up the road. you know, so it was just so much regret, you know.
And that's, you know, that's funny because I've known y'all a long time. Now, I didn't know that about Dawn. And I didn't know that you wanted to be a medical examiner. Now I work with them all day long. That is a field that, ooh, girl, I would commend you if you would have did that job. That job is, so I'm going to be honest. What I wanted to do when I was young, so y'all gonna laugh. So no, not necessarily. So I always wanted to do voiceover for like a Disney character, like doing the
like Donald Duck or something like that, like Penny from the Proud family.
Like doing the music part, doing the singing part, and so if I would have stayed on track, and I would have, so my biggest regret is I did not go to Juilliard when I had the opportunity. Mm-hmm. When I had the opportunity to go to Juilliard School of Music, had a full ride, and I let fear keep me from going. Because I was from a village. I didn't know nothing about no big city.
And you know, you said the key word, fear.
Yeah.
You said the key word, which is fear. And fear can have you miss out on a lot of things.
Yeah. So fear kept me. So when it came down to, I auditioned. I went before the professors, went before the judges. I did my classical piece, and you add my own little flavor. They was like, oh, she's in. But when it came down to going, and you know, my dad was like, well, you know, we don't have the money to do this. And my music teacher was like, well, she doesn't need money. You know, Juilliard is giving her a full scholarship. You know, she doesn't have to worry about dormitory. She doesn't have to worry about food. She don't have to worry about anything. She just got to get here. And I was like, oh, that's too far from home. So one of my biggest regrets is I didn't go. And if I would have went, so this is where we get into the, if I would have went to Juilliard School of Music, where would I be now? What would I be doing today? And then the flip side is, would I've still met Chris?
If it was meant to be, yes. Just would have been at a different circumstances.
So that was my biggest regret. My biggest regret is that I missed an opportunity. So I got a list. I got a portfolio of regrets.
But you know what? And I think as humans, when you get, you know, I think that's just a part of life, because you make decisions, you know, as you go along this journey, you're gonna make decisions. And all decisions are not gonna be the best decisions, but you know, you're doing, I believe, at that time, the best you can do with the information that you have at that time.
Yeah, but you said the key word, not being stuck in your regret. And a lot
of people, anybody tell you something different.
You know what? But that's so, you know what? But that's so hard. That's hard when you don't see, the thing is, when you don't know what decision to make, when you're at odds and you don't know what decision to make, and you ask somebody, y'all listen to me, y'all watch who you ask.
No, seriously. Because when people don't want to see you succeed, they're going to tell you something different. And then if you ain't secure enough in yourself and you looking for an answer, you're going to believe what they say.
And you are, and I'm being honest, you got to watch, y'all listen, Linda. Y'all have to watch who you ask for advice on major decisions in your life. I know somebody to this day and took counsel from some people, and it's caused so much havoc and wrong directions that now it's almost like a domino effect. Can't figure out how to get out of the mess that they're in. You got it. First of all, the Bible tells us in all our ways,
acknowledge
God. And a lot of us, and then, but the thing is, once we acknowledge him, we don't want to wait on the answer. And so that's when we'll start, we'll go from Jimmy, John, Ruth, Mary, whoever, and you'll jump from person to person to person to person, asking them questions, trying to get an answer. And sometimes the person will tell you the answer that God wants you to have, but you don't want the answer. And you'll keep going until you get the answer that you want. But I will tell you, you better, like Dawn said, you got people that will tell you the wrong thing because they don't want to see you succeed. And then now you got the fact that I listened to somebody else, and now I got regret on top of that. I got regret because I listened to somebody else and then I missed an opportunity. And regret can eat you up. The enemy can take that thing, and he can twist it. And I got a prime example. So when my husband passed, somebody asked me a question. Did I do enough? I just seen Dawn's face. If y'all can see my sister's face. So y'all, these two women knew my husband very well. Very well. And you know, they knew him well. And they know me well. So if you could have seen Dawn's face, facial expression when I just said that, it spoke volumes. She know I would have fought tooth and nail. I would have ripped people's hair out. I would have, Darina Dawn know me. And so for a person to ask, so this is what I mean about regret and how the enemy can take it and cause it to cause havoc and cause pain. So the question was asked to me, did I do enough? So the enemy took that and blew it up. So now I was in a season of regret. Did I fight hard enough for him? Then I was regretting, should I put him on a ventilator? So then I'm cycling over all this stuff. I regretted that I didn't put him on a ventilator, that I didn't fight hard enough. So if you don't watch who speaks to you, they can add stuff to you. So I fought with that for years. The regret that I felt I didn't do enough. When of course I know I did. I know, but the space and the place that I was in and the mind frame I was in, it caused another issue. So I knew I did enough. I knew I did enough, but that moment in time, that regret had entered into my realm that I regret that I did not. I had a season of I regret that I did not put him on a breathing machine. And I know goodness well he would not have wanted to live like that. Would not have wanted to do that. So we do have to watch. We have to be careful of who speaks in our lives, because they will bring up stuff that we never even thought we had regret about. Not one bit. So yeah, I got a portfolio.
You know, and it goes back to what Dorena said too. Depression will start sitting in. When you start pondering on that thing and it starts sitting there and seeping in your pores. And then you started thinking about it, and it's like
you almost get angry. You begin to get angry
with yourself.
Yeah.
With yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then beating up yourself. And the thing is this, there's some things that you're never, ever going to be able to change. And there's like going to be things past. In your, say it again.
Like the past.
Yes. You can't change that. So what do you do? And this, so we're talking about regret. Yeah, we all have it. We've all experienced it. And I'm sure we're going to continue to experience regret. Long as you're breathing, mm-hmm. you, and long as you're moving, you're going to have regret. But what do you do with it? How do you handle it? And how do you not stay trapped in that space and in that time? Because if you stay there too long, it'll be like cement in your shoes. And it'll be, you'll never ever move forward. So how do you get through, and I don't want to say past, but get through regret? How do you, I don't even have the word, how do you proceed forward with regret and it not be a, that it doesn't turn into depression? Because some things we're never ever going to be able to change. And some things, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish it.
And you're never going to get, some things you're never going to get to redo over. You're just not.
You know, it's kind of like the song Kenny Rogers sang, you got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. You know, you got to, when you realize where you are in your life, you can look go back and say, oh, you know, like I said, the military was mine, but where am I at now? Had I been in the military, would I have my children? The two that I have? Would I even have children, you know? Mm-hmm. I look at it that wasn't God's plan for me. Because who's to say, had I went into the military, that I would have made it out of the military?
Right.
You know? So I have to counter the pros and cons of that regret. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's what I was waiting on. I was waiting on someone to go there because, like you just said, if I would have went to Juilliard, my question is, would I stay saved in that city? Or would I be like, chuck this. I'm in a Big Apple. Forget this. So God knows the plans that he has for us. And I think if we really look at the regrets that we've had, I think it built us in a way. Mm. It helped create who we are now. Because even like now on this podcast, we wouldn't have this conversation about regret. We wouldn't, because we wouldn't have nothing to talk about. We wouldn't have nothing to say. So I believe that we can allow some of the bad choices. I'm going to say all the bad choices, if we really take time to stop. And if we've learned from them, that's the key. If we learn from them, then we're able to take that, what we learn, and use it as a building block. They don't always have to stay a wound that never heals. They can. It's just what you choose to do with the regret and with the decisions that we made. So, yeah, regret is a...
It's a demon. It's a spirit. It that opens up doors to other spirits.
Yeah.
That are not godly.
Yeah.
The loneliness, the resentment, and I'll even go so far as to, you'll start, the person that gave you that advice to do this and do that, and you took that advice, or we took that advice, and they moved on with their life, and they flourishing. They gone on and doing what you wanted to do. and you end up hating that person or resenting that person. That I do believe the scripture says, well, you don't tell the right hand what the left hand is doing. You know,
sure
you,
don't. Sure
you don't
that
tell people like, what your business.
Be like,
you know?
Oh, so and so, look at them. Look at so and so. So and so is doing X, Y, Z, and they told me to do Y, Y, but Y, but it was your choice to take Y and Z's information.
Yep. And, you know, I tell my son when with his business and stuff, and he, you know, he brags, he get these brilliant ideas, and I'm like, everybody don't need to know your plan.
No, be quiet. Tell them I said, be quiet.
I tell them that all the time. I tell it to people. You know, we have to make choices, and we have to weigh those choices on is this something that I can live with? Is this something I'm going to regret?
I wonder if we stop and think, ask that question before we do stuff. We would get so much further. We would get so much further. We just stop and say, hold on. Now, if I make the decision right now, am I going to regret it?
It's kind of like, well, if I sleep with Bobby Joe, what's going to happen? I could get pregnant. I could get somebody's disease. They're going to call me a little hoe. Or I can stay in church. Or I can leave Bobby Joe alone and go over here and just be by myself.
No, we're not going to ask, because guess what?
Flesh. We like sin. Let's just tell the truth.
Flesh
we want the excitement.
Flesh want. Flesh that want is. What flesh want. And so, no, so no, we're not gonna ask ourselves, are we gonna regret this? Sometimes people, you know what? Oh, thank you. Sometimes the Lord would tell us no. And we'll say, I'll repent later. I'll deal with the consequences later. Look at Darina.
You know, I'm just gonna say this. when I was young and dumb, I said that a few times, right? But that's when I realized that I can't get away with things that everybody else seemed to get away with. I seem to get caught for some reason. I can't, you know, do what they doing next door. I'm like, dang, I can't ever.
You
do
know,
nothing.
And that's funny because you know what? I had these I'll say blackout moments, but that's not the word. I had these pause moments, like, you know what? I can just do this and then I'll repent later. I'll just do this and then I'll go back, but then I'll be like, you know what, I'm not gonna do that.
Because I made some of those stupid decisions and had some of those regrets, I now have a testimony. I now can say, don't go where I've been. Don't do what I did. There's a pothole right there. Go to the left. You know, you might fall. I tell my child all the time. I said, you know, as a parent, I don't want you falling in the same potholes. Yeah. You don't have potholes on your own. But, try to avoid the ones that I went into. So if I'm telling you, don't go straight, you know, steer to the left. You know.
But they're not going to do that. We know that. We're not going to do that because we didn't.
But you know,
we did, because we had some people telling us, those that meant us well, we know they was trying to tell us the same thing, but we still went fell in them potholes. But you know what? But
I said, Mama, I'm sorry. Mama, I am so sorry. Oh my God, Mama, please forgive me. Oh God, what was I thinking? Because they said, no, you're going to get it back.
But you know, but there's so many, when I was in that crazy, crazy season, I did. I had to keep talking to myself. That girl, ain't no promise that you can repent later. So you're gonna want to keep it together today. And then my thought was, what is a moment? What is a moment for you when it's a lifetime of living holy? That one moment could keep you from reaching where God is sending you. And I don't think. But this is how God did with me. I don't know how God did with anybody else. This is just how he did with me. And I'm like, it's not worth it. It's not worth that one moment. of letting go. That's just me. And I've been through too much to let a moment dictate my future. That's just me.
Well, and let me piggyback off of that, because you tend to go that route and then you don't realize, thinking, oh, I'm going to do this because I want that instant gratification. And it could be anything. It ain't always about the sex. It could be anything.
No, it's not.
I want to be with the cool crowd. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to wear short this. It could be anything, whatever it is.
Right.
But what we fail to realize, and if we really don't know our word and we really don't know the scriptures, if we don't listen to God, that sin that we think we're going to repent from, it'll grab a hold of you slowly.
Oh.
And it'll latch onto you like a blood, like a little leech.
Mm-hmm. And you got to burn them off.
You literally burn them off. And it will suck the life out of you. And then somebody else will come along and offer you something different. Same thing, but in a different gift wrap. And you take that, and then they go a whole nother leech that unlatched onto you. And before you know it, you done got so big. Let me just put it like that. The devil done got you so bare with all these demonic spirits latched onto you that you don't even know where you're coming or going. And then you sitting there like, I'm depressed. I'm lonely. I'm ready to kill myself. What happened? Well, I shouldn't have been with this person. If I would have known, I would have went over here. But we have all these instant regrets.
Mm-hmm. For a moment.
But
you know,
lifetime. Yeah. You got people that have regrets that's alcoholics now.
No, what I mean when
they're
I say
doing for a drugs moment, now.
But what I mean when I say for a moment, I'm just gonna do this for a moment. And that moment turns into can turn into a lifetime. So when I mean you say, okay, I'm just gonna do this for the moment, you're looking at one little piece of your life, but you're not looking at the whole life. So for one moment of instant gratification, whether it's going to the nightclub, doing this and doing it, it's just one little space and time for you, but it could mean a lifetime of regret, a lifetime of never being able to get out. When you talk about the leech thing, when a leech latches onto you, it's literally sucking the blood out of you and it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between a natural leaf and the devil, a natural leaf will grow and then it'll burst because it can't take it.
It'll fall off. Fall off because it's full. Mm-hmm.
But the devil don't let go, and he don't fall off because it's full. He'll suck you till you're dead. He'll suck you dry.
That's the thing. It turns for me. I can't speak for nobody else. For me, there was a period of a spiritual desert.
Mm.
It was like a never-ending nothingness. It was just like a void. And it was hard because when you do things you know you're not supposed to be doing and you regret it, sometimes it's hard to come back spiritually, to bounce back. And it cost you.
Yeah, and so the Bible talks about dearly. And see, this is where the Bible talks about, let not your flight be in winter. That's when you're talking about the desert, you're talking about a separation moment. You don't ever want to be in that moment and you're taken out of here. So when you talk about the desert, you're talking about nothing. Because if you look in the desert, every now and then you might find an oasis. You may.
A mirage.
I mean, when you really think about somebody being in the for real desert and you're walking and you don't know if you're ever going to find water or oasis. So that's not a place that you want to stay in, because there's no guarantee you're going to find what you need in the desert. So just that moment of self-gratification can lead you into a place that you may not be able to get out of. because the devil, he don't play fair. He don't play nice. And his job is to keep you and to kill you. And mm-hmm. I mean, the Bible mm-hmm. says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so his job is not to say, hey, I'm going to give you some help. No, his job is to make sure that you don't make it to your destiny.
Into your calling that God has for you.
And so he will take, I wish I would have. I wish I should have. I could have. I didn't do that. And he will turn it into a lifelong torture thing. And that's not what God, that's not God's plan. That's not God's plan for any of us. But how do you, and this is where Dawn was getting, how do you get past all that? How do you move out of the regret and into the victory court?
Somewhere along the line, there's always a God. God is always there. You may not hear him, you may not see him, but he's still there. And he's just waiting for you to just say, help.
Yeah.
Waiting for you to call out. Like I was saying earlier, a lot of people who are alcoholics and on drugs is because of something they regretted in life and they can't let that thing go. And so they go to that bottle to numb the pain of whatever it is that caused them to have these deep regrets. A lot of people do drugs first time, and we'll go back to the first time you tried and you tried it, you liked it, and then you got hooked on whatever it was. So if you don't know that there is a God that loves you, mm-hmm. that doesn't want you, and that, you know, there was a book a long time ago, God Has a Plan B. You cannot tell me he does not.
He does.
Because it's all throughout the scripture. Everything the devil meant for evil, God had a backup plan in works.
And to work it out for your good.
Work everything. It out for everybody's good. So you have to know that if you just call on him, you ain't even got to call him. Sometimes you just have to moan. Mm-hmm. If you can moan that in your spirit, he hears you.
Yeah. And if you just turn your heart, just your heart towards him, he is faithful and just to forgive. And a lot of things people think God is never going to forgive. I done did so much wrong, but he's the perfect person to help you in the situation that you're in. He is not the type of God that cannot forgive and will not forgive. But the thing is, you got to forgive yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Say that again, mm-hmm. sis.
I said 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yay. Yeah.
Got to confess.
And so the thing is this, you have to forgive. First of all, you got to forgive yourself. You're going to have to say, I'm sorry. And Alice, I'm sorry.
It's hard.
I'm sorry. I forgive you. I forgive myself. You're going to have to forgive yourself. And then that'll give you an opportunity to say, okay, God. But until you say, you know what? I'm going to have to forgive myself. And then you're going to have to let go of all that other stuff. And some of the stuff God's going to have to help you let go of. Because some stuff we can't do ourselves.
That's right.
Some stuff you cannot do yourself. But God is faithful. He's faithful who promised. And he said he'll never leave us, nor will he forsake us. You just got to turn your heart toward him. And that's what he's waiting on. He's just waiting on somebody to say, hey, Lord, I need you. Like Peter. Peter was on the water. And I know people be talking about this. Peter was on the water. Well, before Peter was on the water, Peter was in the boat.
Right.
And he saw a figure coming, came off land and walked on water. And when he recognized who it was, he said, Lord, bid me come. And so Peter stepped out the boat. And some people know the story. He stepped out the boat and the storm came. And Peter, you know, took his eyes off of God and he began to sink. But Peter had enough sense to do one thing. He had enough sense to call for help. So those that are sinking, open your mouth. open your mouth and say, Lord, help me. And I promise you, if you open your mouth and say, and with a sincere heart, Lord, I need your help, he is not going to turn a deaf ear to you, because he wants to be able to help you.
I was getting ready to say in Jeremiah 29, when he says, for I know the plans of that I have before you. If you think that you backsliding or you getting caught up or you doing drugs or you hooking or what drug, whatever it is you doing, if you think God didn't know you was going to do that, please, he already knew. That's why he waiting on you to come back to him. So he can tell you, I let you have your permissive will. I let you do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And let me help you get where I need you to be.
Yeah. And so the thing is,
he already knows. He just waiting on you to come back to him.
Exactly. He says, I know the thoughts. And this is the thing people got to understand. The Lord said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. And I have an expected end for you. So he's already got a plan for you. So, and this is for everybody. So don't think that you're excluded, but you're included. He has an expected end for you. You just got to come to him. He just waited. I don't know what's wrong with folks.
I say, you can blame it on Adam and Eve, but it's them doggone children of Israel. They get that short-term amnesia. So, I mean,
they got a little delusional in the wilderness.
They forgot about all the miracles and wonders.
And you know what? But that's
forgot like about us. Being rescued.
But we do the same thing. We do the same like thing.
Us. But that's like us. We are like the children of Israel. We forget all the blessings and the benefits that God has given us. Mm-hmm. And we go to mumbling and complaining and then doing what we want to do. We set, and now we may not do the same thing they did. We may not build golden idols and things, but we got other idols that we worship. And so we doing the same thing that they did when they was in the wilderness.
I mean, didn't God snap off on Job because he had to remind Job, wait a minute now, hold up, how dare you? You forget what I've done for you? And I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. We do that when we get put in, we forget what the goodness of God and what he's done for us, because we get stuck in that moment because we feel like we have failed and we can't move forward and we can't see past the woods. And God is like, hey, hello, I'm still here. Yeah, you know, the one ain't listening.
That's when Job said, when Job cursed the day that he was born, hold up.
How dare you?
How are you going to curse the day that I created you, that I formed you in the belly of your mouth? Look. God knew everything that was going to transpire. And I tell people this all the time. I don't care what nobody say. I don't believe life just happens. I know people that's the cliche. Life just happens. If life just happens, then that means God's not in control. And that's a lie.
God ain't in control. Yeah.
God is in control of everything. Life just does not happen. He knows your beginning, your end, and he knows your middle. He knows everything in between that's going to happen in the course of life. Now, he will try to navigate you in those pit moments to help you avoid, but majority of the time, we don't listen.
Just, oh, God, I said, can you just tell me what you're thinking? You know, just tell me so I know, so I can, you know.
So we can be on the same page.
Right, you know. I mean, you know, why I got to figure this thing out?
That's why God has got a sense of humor, because he looked at us like, wait, what? If I tell you what I'm thinking, yeah, you can't handle it.
Because believe me, I tell the Lord the same thing. Look, you can help me out. You can make life so much easier for me if you just clue me in. Clue me in. If you just tell me, I'm good with you. But that's not how he gonna do.
No, because he's gonna tell you and then you're gonna mess it up because you ain't gonna wanna do what he told you to do.
You won't have no trust.
No, you're not gonna have no trust,
and then you're gonna have that little bitty faith.
Exactly. So yeah, it would be nice if God would give us the full blueprint. If he would map it out step by step, But if he would map it up step by step, like you said, why do we need faith? We don't have no need for, then not only that, but then why do we have need for him?
Yeah.
If he lays the whole plan out for us, then how, why do we need him?
Because he created the plan. So, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? Let me say it like this. So think about when an architect builds something or creates something and somebody takes his blueprints. Do they go back to the architect and say, hey, no, they take his plans and they build it. God does not want nobody to take his masterpiece and not give him credit for it. So he not going to lay the whole thing out for us. It would be that would be too easy.
I give him credit. I would give him his credit. No, what's up? Yeah. Let me zoom.
Okay. So we know some.
Kudos, God.
Yeah. You know,
you did not say kudos. We know for a fact that people, when God does things for people, they do not acknowledge God that, hey, God did this for me. They don't give him glory. They actually steal it.
Like, I want to thank God, my family.
Yeah. No, you ain't living a lick of none of God.
Oh, yeah. That kills me. Don't live, but the thing, yeah, we cloud it. But they wouldn't. They would not. So God is not going to, Lord, it would be nice if you would map it out and make it plain from the beginning to end. But I know you're not so, but I know you have plans. Just the fact, thank you. Just the fact, Lord, that I know that you have plans for me. I'm good with that. We have to be. Just for the fact you included me in your plans, I'm even better with that. Just don't exclude me. And I'm okay with that.
But we sometimes exclude ourselves.
Exactly.
Let's make sure we say that. We sometimes exclude ourselves because we really think that what God has for us is a lot harder than what it really is. And yes, there's going to be some pain, some growing pains with it. There's going to be some lessons learned, but it's a whole lot easier when we do it God's way than when we do it our way. Because when we do it our way, we got to come back around that thing 365 degrees, and that might take 2-3 years just to get back to point A. When had we been at point A in the beginning, we could have been all the way to point Z.
And you've lost so much time.
So much.
And I think about that. I do. I think about that even now. You know, we talk about regret in some decisions that we made. I think about now, just a few years ago, if I had made different choices. And the thing is this, God did tell me, I'm not going to go back through that, but God did tell me what to do. I just didn't listen. And because I didn't listen, it caused me to miss some time. It caused me years that I missed, and how much further I would have been in life, in ministry, if I would have just did what he told me to do then. So that's a regret, that if I would have listened to him then, how much further. And then not only that, but how much I would have avoided. How much pain I wouldn't have had to go through if I would have just listened then. But I'm grateful to God because when you humble yourself and you understand that, yes, I made a mistake. Lord, forgive me. Now God can redeem the time for you. Mm-hmm. And he don't redeem the time for everybody. That's he don't do that. There's a place of humility that you have to get in for God to be able to redeem that time for you. So, yeah, when you don't follow the way he's saying, yeah, you got to do a complete circle. And that complete circle may take years for you to get back. But all that time that you lost. Question is, will God allow you to make it up? That's a question mark. I can't tell you if God will allow you to or not, but it's not something that I want. That right there, I don't ever want to repeat that, because that was painful. That was painful to go through that portion of life where I had to wait years to be able to get to the place where God wanted me to be at in the first place. But that was hard. That was hard. So regret is it's a beast. And it's a place that you don't want to stay in long. Don't stay there long, y'all. Don't stay there long.
Learn from it and move on.
Learn from it and move. And that's the key. Learn from it and move on. God doesn't want you to dwell in the past, huh?
I know, I'm saying there's a freedom in not living in regret.
Yeah. 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 And that's when you recognize, I made it. I did it. I can't change it. But what can I do different today? Mm-hmm. What can I do different in my life today that will be positive and that keeps me pushing forward? And that's the point.
And you can also say, what am I to learn from this so that I can help someone else?
Yeah.
To get through this.
Yeah.
If they were to encounter it. Because I truly believe God allow us to go through certain things so that for the next person or the next encounter, we know how to help and get through that situation or help that person get through that situation. And that's not always the case, but that's what I, whenever I do anything now, the past 10 years, I've learned new jobs, new people, new anything. Lord, what am I supposed to learn? Who am I supposed to help? Uh-huh. Is this something for me or is this something for somebody else? How long am I going to have to be there? How long is this assignment going to be, Lord? That's the question questions I ask.
Yeah.
I have to prepare myself, because some people will drain you.
And that's something I have to pray about. Even on the job I'm on now, and y'all know, because I was complaining. Y'all heard me. I was complaining. My job is very tiring. It's very tiring. It's very stressful. And I say, Lord, so I had to get to the point where I said, Lord, there's a reason why you have me here operating in this capacity. So help me to learn what I need to learn. Mm-hmm. And then whoever I need to help, however I need to pour out, let me do that. And let me be content until you see time to release me. And it took me a minute to get there. It did. It took me a minute to get there and then to stay there, because people and environments sometimes can try to push you the opposite direction. But that's when the strong man, that's when the Holy Ghost inside of you will have to stand up and rear up and say, no, there's a reason why I'm here for this season, and I will finish. I will accomplish the task that God has set before me. And when I walk, when he frees me, there won't be no regret when I walk away.
That part. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Because I finished the task that you've given me. So my sister, Dawn, you got any scriptures for tonight? Or Doreen?
Doreen's doing the scriptures. No, Doreen's doing the scriptures. Remember? Come on, bring it, mama.
You ain't gotta be like that. I was just saying, but you know what? I do have a few. I said one earlier, like 1 John 1:9. Confessing our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians 7:10. 1 Samuel 15:11. Psalms 103:12. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. You know, Romans 8:28, God can take what has happened in our lives and make something positive out of that. And when you talk about regret, you know, we talk about, you know, being able to confess, ask for forgiveness, ask God to redeem the loss, and, you know, wait on God to redeem.
Like it.
Amen.
Like
Amen.
It. So find Amen. Somebody. Find somebody that you can trust that's really rooted and grounded in Christ. Somebody that you can confide in. And you can tell them that I did this and it wasn't God's plan. Pray with me that until God allow me to overcome it, it won't keep me hostage in the place that I'm in.
Amen.
So, Dawn, you want to close us out? Before we close out in prayer, because I don't want to end this. So, y'all, go to Driven in Purpose Facebook page. You can please like the page. Share it. Tell everybody you know about Driven in Purpose. Let's talk about it for real. Y'all, we're not on here just chit-chatting. We are here to help build kingdom. We're here to empower you and let you know that you're not by yourself. You're not alone, that you have some sisters out here that are praying for you, that are with you. And like my sister Dawn always say, we don't have a heaven or hell to put you in.
That's it.
But what we want to do is we want to share the love of God with you and let you know that God has a purpose and has a plan for your life. So go to Driven in Purpose Facebook page. Make sure you follow it. Make sure you like it. Make sure you share. Y'all, we build a kingdom. So let's do it together because it looks so much better. And you would also, if you want to seed into this ministry, you can go to $DrivenInPurpose. Again, that's $DrivenInPurpose. And you can put in the memo, hey, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it for real. And seed into this ministry. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. And my prayers that you would seed into the ministry, but whether you do it or not, we gonna still do kingdom.
That's it.
We still gonna do God what God has told us to do, because no, it's not about the money. It's not, because our hearts are toward God, and God will bring increase in our paychecks. Let me tell you that He will bring increase in our paychecks to do what we have to do concerning His kingdom. But if you want to be a blessing, and if you want the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich, seed into this ministry. Again, that's $DrivenInPurpose. And also go on Driven in Purpose Facebook page. If you have responses, or if you have topics that you want to discuss, if you have any questions, you can post them there. And Dawn, Darina, and I will be happy to respond to you. And what we don't know, we're going to figure it out. We're going to ask some questions. But you guys, come on and join us as we build kingdom. And we love you much. Dawn, you want to pray us out, sis?
Yes. Dear Lord, we come before you with a heavy heart, burdened by our past mistakes. Help us to release these regrets and find peace in your forgiveness. Guide us to learn from our errors and our mistakes and move forward with a renewed spirit. Merciful God, we seek your healing from the pain of regret. Fill our hearts with your love and grace. Help us to forgive ourselves as you've forgiven us. Let your light shine through our darkness, bringing us hope and renewal spirit. Mm. Grant us the wisdom to learn from our past and to grow stronger in our faith. Help us to see those mistakes as opportunities for growth and to trust in our faith and your guidance. Lead us on the path of righteousness. We thank you, Father God, that you keep us and you put a hedge of protection over each and every one of us.
Yes.
Thank you for the listeners that are listening in to us, Father God, because it's only by your strength that we're able to come on this platform and speak truth to these individuals, Father God. We thank you and praise you, Father God, that you loved us enough to forgive us. You loved us enough to be a second chance, God. We thank you, Father God, just because you're all we got.
Yeah.
We give you the honor. We give you the praise. In Jesus' holy, holy name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. So you guys, we love you. And until next Friday, hey, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it for real. Let's talk about it.
We're gonna make a jingle. Good night.
We're gonna make a jingle. Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Be safe.